That humor is really nothing more than what we relate to in our lives. It's funny because it's so real, right? And one of my favorite comics is Calvin and Hobbes. And in this case, this was always the way that I tried to clean my room with my younger brother. Didn't always work, but I tried. He said, cleaning my room will go a lot faster if we both work, right? So I'll sit here and do all the tedious, agonizing planning and organizing. You know, making the tough calls and the hard decisions. And you won't have to do any of that. And then all you have to do is pick up what I tell you, okay? Hey, I didn't say pick me up, you know? Matter of fact, I didn't say get away from that trash can. I'm the organizer, right? Isn't that the way things go? Well, so I want to start my lesson with a story about four people you all know. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Because there was an important job that had to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. And everybody thought anybody could do it. But nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Isn't that the way it goes? Sadly enough, most churches work on a 90-10 rule. 90% of the work done by 10% of the people. I am happy to say that is not the case here. But how do we get more done? I want to look at Nehemiah chapter 3 today. And no, I am not going to read all of Nehemiah chapter 3. If I did, I'd ask Jeff to pronounce all the tedious names and difficult places. Part of the reason we're not going to read it all because of that. There are a lot of unfamiliar names and places and things. But it is a most interesting story. It's the account of building the wall of Jerusalem, where Nehemiah, the cupbearer to the king, and not the king in Jerusalem, the king of their captivity, realized back home in Jerusalem the wall was in disarray, and it bothered him. It bothered him so much that he determined that he was going to go back and make sure it got built. And he emerged a great leader with God's support and guidance to get the wall rebuilt. But if you take a look at chapter 3, the detail of what went on is amazing. It lists the names of the families and the people and what sections of each wall and each gate they were responsible to build. And each family did the work that was set before them. Because Nehemiah had a goal, in chapter 3 revealed how that task was completed. And his objective was to build the wall around the city of Jerusalem. And strangely enough, he had the approval of the king that occupied Israel. He was allowed to go fortify the city that he was from and got approval from the king who had taken over that city. And with careful planning and some engineering, and a people who had a mind to work, as we see in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, it said, it got done because the people had a mind to work. And if we go on in chapter 16 of Nehemiah, we see that the task was finished in 52 days. Now, that's an incredible feat to think that you built a wall around a city in 52 days. And they did it without the hydraulic cranes, without backhoes, without the big load lifters, and all of the things that we see on construction sites now, and we can't get anything built in 52 days. All they had was a lot of rocks and a lot of people who believed in the task and were willing to work hard. And with God's help, that was enough. So let's look at how they accomplished such a huge task and make some applications to our work with the Lord today.
What does it take to accomplish great things in the Lord? Number one, it takes a people that know God is with them. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8, it says that about Nehemiah, he said himself that, "For the good hand of the Lord God was upon me." He knew the only way he was going to accomplish this task is because God was with him. Wasn't going to happen any other way. He wasn't a stonemason. He was not a supervisor. He was not educated to be an organizer. He was the cupbearer to the king. He carried a cup around all day. And yet he was determined to have a wall built around a city. And he knew because God was with him, it was going to happen. Because God's hand was on Nehemiah. Let's not take anything away from Nehemiah because he went and did the work. He worked hard on it. He had to first approach the king. Now, if you remember back in times of Babylon, what the king said was final. And if he said no, you didn't ask a second time. And if he didn't like your question, it was legally within his rights to remove your head. And yet Nehemiah still approached the king to say, "I want to go build a wall around the city that you have already taken from us to fortify it." Now think about that for a minute. "I want to fortify the city in case you decide to attack it again, we'll be ready." That's exactly what he did. He put together all his paperwork in the terms of the way we look at it, right? Even back then, there was paperwork involved. And he made sure all the planning was complete, and then he set about to do the work. We see the best of Nehemiah and the mighty hand of God is an unbeatable combination. Because the people who surrounded Nehemiah understood that. Because they saw his enthusiasm and they saw God was with him, they stepped up to the task. And we must do the same. Because God provides, he expects us to do our part. Get out of there. Number two, it takes people who have the same vision. When we all share the same vision, we're all on the same page, it's amazing what we can get accomplished. Now, some of you can remember back to December 2005. Some of you weren't here, but some of you can. Because when we came to this building, we had a basement that looked like this. Yeah, hard to imagine that now, isn't it? And then, within a few short weeks, it looked like this, only to get to here. Because, how did it happen? Many of you remember, we spent the entire month of December 2005 working almost every night and every weekend and every moment we had available to build classrooms to get ready for kids by January 1st. We shared a vision, and it became a reality. And I don't know where those three little girls were. They used to visit here, but I haven't seen them in a long time. We even learned a few new skills, and we had a few shocking moments. And in case you didn't realize, that lower left picture, those two guys actually did get shocked putting up a light fixture. I had more faith in them than they did, and they proved me wrong. It also takes people who are not afraid to work. Building a wall around the city was not an easy task. There were people that did not want that wall built. Some of them were their neighbors. Some of them were people around the city. Some of them were their own people that did not want that work to be done. And they tried every way possible to make sure it didn't happen. It got to the point that they had to build the wall with one hand on a sword and the other hand building the wall. But they still built the wall. Now, when you say they built the wall, you know, maybe not, you may not have an understanding of what that was. If we go back and look at what Josephus, the historian of Jesus' time, said, the wall around the city of Jerusalem was 33 stadia. Term none of us use anymore, right? Put it in terms that you're used to, it was 4.5 miles. The circumference of the city was 4.5 miles. It enclosed 960 acres, or roughly 1.5 square miles. And yet, if you aren't afraid of the task, you can cut it down to size. How many of you remember the old joke? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's right. Because if you never start, you can't finish. And if you try and look at the whole task at once, you'll never start. Nehemiah cut that task down, if you read chapter 3, into small pieces. And they took a bite out of it at a time. He shows us that each person and each family did not work on the wall, but they worked on their part of the wall that was in front of them. And that's how the task got accomplished. It also takes people who will put God's work first. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If God comes first, everything else will follow. Sometimes not immediately, and not exactly like we planned it, but we must keep praying and keep trusting that God has a plan. It takes people from every walk of life. If you read chapter 3, you will see that there were priests, there were merchants, there were government leaders, there were men, there were women. There were people in high positions, there were people in low positions. There were no excuses, there were no hang-ups. Everybody worked. Because it doesn't matter who you are, there's a place for you. And everybody has something that they can do. It was true then, and it's true now. It also takes people working together. You'll notice all throughout chapter 3 that Nehemiah records that one person worked in a particular spot, and another person works next to him, and then next to him was a family, and in one place it doesn't say it, but there was a man who had no sons, because it mentions him and his daughters working on the wall. All throughout that whole city, someone built a section of wall, or they built the gate and they set the posts, because each one saw the need, they saw something that had to be done, and they did it. When we work together, not only does the work go faster, from what I found around here, we have a pretty good time doing it. If you've ever come to one of our work days, they're not work. We may get a lot accomplished, but they're some of the most fun we have all year long. If you haven't had the opportunity to work with these five guys over here, you have missed out. It is a trip that you will never forget. Because I've never seen them grumble or complain. They're smiling, they're laughing, they're joking when they're not texting. I mean, they spend a lot of time like this. You know. The last project I was on is like a union crew. Two of them ran the chop saw. Two of them were driving screws. And two of them would move the components. When it wasn't their turn, they sat in a chair. As soon as you said, "All right, I need," they popped right up. But some of you will remember back in 2011, Ivy Hill Subdivision no longer wanted to keep a playground. They said to Dave, "You know, if you can come get it, you can have it. All you got to do is come here and get it and move it." Jeff is going, "Yeah, right." Half the congregation showed up one Saturday afternoon. And we picked up a playground. And we moved it. It was not getting used where it was, but it could be used every single time the bus stops here. And you'll notice that, yes, we did move it as one big piece, too. Some of you remember when we built the classrooms. We took four pews out of the back of the auditorium, which in some cases would have been sacrilege in and of itself, to remove pews from an auditorium. But we had a need for a classroom. We didn't at the time need extra pews. So what do? We take them down. We built the room. And then when we didn't want the pews anymore, we needed more space, what do? We took all the pews down, and you'll see that it's not one person, it's not two people, it's everybody. And what do with the things God gives us? We use them. Right? Where'd the pews go? Most of you are standing on them or sitting on them. When we wanted to paint, we have people show up to paint. We don't have one person or a committee that does something. We see a need. We have people willing to work or be on their phone. Couldn't help it. Sorry, guy. Yeah. And most recently, this past winter, we had a pipe break, which in a lot of cases could be a disaster. But, that's what insurance is for, and we got a check. And through the grace of God, most of our calamities have been covered by one thing or another. When the building needed a roof, we got a hailstorm. When we had a bus get wrecked, we got a better bus. It never seems to fail. So in case we get a check from an insurance company with more cash than we've seen in forever, we realize that if we do a little bit of work, we could get another bus. And so we have a work day, and people show up, and we work. Yes, Jaquan, you were working. And Ernest is actually sitting on top of the bus washing a spot nobody ever sees, the top of a bus. In that whole process, we even got a shower upstairs. So this week, when the boys are here in the building from Otter Creek, they don't have to stand in line for one shower. We'll have two now. And yes, there's my union crew. You see them in twos. They're waiting their turn to do their work. God continues to provide for us because we never know where the opportunities will come from or how He will bless us. Most recently, I have a guy I work with quite often, a contractor, called me up one Friday at work and said, "Hey, I got a project I'm working on. It's got a perfectly good air conditioner. I'm going to take it out. If you don't want it, I'll throw it away." Of course, I can never turn down a perfectly good air conditioner. And I said, "Sure, I'll take it." And for the last month and a half, it has sat outside. I didn't know what I was going to do with it. 2 weeks ago, we had an air conditioner totally die. They said it'll cost you $2,000 to fix it, and it still won't have any heat, and it might work about a week. And I turned around and looked and said, "God has given us an air conditioner." And yesterday, they installed it. If you didn't notice, it's a little cooler in here today than it has been, because God gave us an air conditioner. All we have to do is make sure it got working. Now, are we too proud to accept a used air conditioner? No. God doesn't always say, "I will give you the newest and best," but He does expect that from us. It's what He wants back in return. Nehemiah was called to repair a wall, and we've been called to accomplish a mission. We are called to build the church, not this brick and mortar structure, but the church. And for us, that does include having a place to worship and to house the many things we do. But the greater goal is that we must all work together with building the Lord's church. Together, we can take up the challenge together, and we can accomplish a much bigger task. Will it always be easy? How often has it been easy? I can remember several phone calls. With a slightly panicked note in his voice when Dave would say, "Brother, I got a problem." It hasn't always been easy. Yeah, well, it's not every week, but... And those of you who haven't ever been around a sump pump that works off the basement bathroom when it fails to be connected to the pipe and it goes off, you've missed something. Not that I would ever wish you to be in that, but it is an experience that you'll never forget. Dave and I have both been showered, and it's not a blessing I want again, but... Is it sometimes stressful? Sure it is. Will it always be stressful? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. But I challenge each one of us to continue to do the good work that we are doing. Remember, all our efforts are for the glory of God. We need to continue to work together. And there are always something we can learn if we look around. My dad told me when I was very young, if you're not learning, you're not growing. If you're not growing, you're dying. Now, if you know my dad, he's dead serious about it. He's 81 years old. He reads two books a week. And the worst thing that ever happened to him is when he had cataract surgery and he couldn't read a book. It just drove him nuts. He honestly believes constantly that if you are not learning, you're not growing. If you're not growing, you're dying. And we can learn from a lot of different things. Oops. We can even learn from geese. I don't know if you're like me. I like to look around at nature and see stuff. And do you ever wonder why geese fly in a formation they fly in? Or do they just like the big V, right? Why do they fly in a V? Anybody know? Exactly right. By working together, they can fly 71% further than a single goose can fly in a day. Each goose actually creates an updraft for the one behind it. He is uplifting those around him. Because people who share common goals can get where they're going quicker and easier when they're traveling on the thrust of each other. If a goose comes out of formation, he quickly finds that drag pulling on him. And before long, he'll fall right back in line. Because it's a lot harder by himself to fly. The lesson for us should be, if we get distracted and get pulled away from what we're doing, we'll get quickly dragged out of line. And we start struggling. We need to return to the strength of that group that will strengthen us. When the leader gets tired, what's he do? He just falls back in line and somebody else takes over the lead. If geese were like most congregations, the minute the leader stopped, they'd all land. But that's not the way God intended for it to be. Geese are a perfect example of what God wants us to be. Everybody does their part, and when it's their turn, they step up and do it. They don't complain, "It's not my turn. I don't feel like it. I'm not going to." When the front guy falls back, the next one moves up. When he falls back, the next one moves up. If one gets sick or wounded, two more land. Stay with him until he is no longer tired, or if he happens to die, they'll stay till he passes. And then they find another group and mold right in and fly just like they had with anyone else. And the lesson there is, if we had as much sense as a goose, we'd stand by each other in difficult times as well as when we're strong. Now, if you've ever seen them flying, what do? You probably didn't see them before you heard them, right? Because they're constantly honking, right? What are they doing? The ones in back are encouraging the one in the front to keep going. Don't slow down. Keep going. Because that honking motivates the rest of the geese. Now, we got to be careful that our honking is encouragement. A lot of us like to honk, but it may not be for the benefit of those around us. Because in groups where there are encouragement, their effectiveness of getting things done is so much better. Everybody needs somebody to help them to keep up. And every so often I come across a picture I just can't avoid not putting in there. I like these frogs because that's the way we are. We always have to help and support one another. Now, remember where I started? A little story. Are you everybody? Are you anybody? Or are you nobody? Or are you somebody willing to work? Giving God the glory, we will be able to be willing workers for His kingdom. Just as Nehemiah and the Israelites built the wall successfully, and just as the geese are able to fly long distances without stopping. With God's guidance and blessing, we who love each other and work together as a church can fly higher and accomplish so much more than we ever imagined. And may God continue to bless us in those efforts. If you are in need of help, or if you just aren't a part of the Lord's body at this time, we urge you to come forward to get that love from us and from Him that we all so desperately need as we stand and sing.